Hey, Animates, it's Thanatos Kane here, and I am doing my Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1 watch-along. Yes, that's what you didn't know yet. You thought it was just going to be a basic review. No, I decided it's going to be a basic watch-along. The episodes are basically 45 minutes long to an hour. So, we're going to begin with this. It's going to be Episode 5, or actually Season 5, Episode 9 on Supergirl, but it is Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1, and as you have heard the podcast before, this has been the big event that the CW Arrowverse has been leading to for almost a year now. It's been teased and teased to death. And we're finally here. And it's episode one. If you didn't catch the podcast yet, you'll find out that episode two is going to be on Monday. Episode three on Monday, and then the winter break, and then four and five at the beginning of 2020. So that should be interesting. But tonight we're going to do part one. And if you guys are ready to watch it with me, I am on 3 seconds. So we can cue that up in 3, 2, 1, and go. This is very comic-like, by the way, as the monitor is basically describing the creation of the multiverse now. This is basically like the comic, almost verbatim, till the beginning of Crisis began, the monitor or some voiceover is beginning, and he is describing what the multiverse is and how it's created, and now we're going to see the breakdown of all the characters and who's in, who's out. We see flashbacks of the first crossover, the pilot of Supergirl, The Flash, Batgirl, and that's from last year's crossover, Lex Luthor with Kara here. The music, I gotta say, is on point. It's so cinematic. Makes you feel like in the theater. For an event like this, it has to be. There's Lex in his exosuit once again. There's Deegan as Black Superman, or Black-suited Superman, excuse me. Earth 89, Gotham City. Look at Robert Wool. We go to Earth 9, San Francisco. We see the Titans. There's Hawk and Jason Todd. Earth X. Remember the Ray from the crossover about 2 years ago? Earth 66, good old Burt Ward. Look at that. What is Burt Wardisms? Holy crimson skies of death. I think I'm about to borrow that line. And we begin Crisis on Infinite Earths. And of course, we begin this one on Earth 38, National City. That's Will Wheaton, by the way, if you guys didn't know. Ensign Crusher. From you Star Trek Next Generation fans. Very big in the geek community. Cool guy, too, from what I heard. Melissa Benoist, always fantastic. Supergirl, a.k.a. Kara Zor-El. She just adds that heart to the character. Heart and innocence, I guess. Even now in this scene with the dragon bent on destruction, and she just basically talks him down. Shrinks him down, too. I forgot the name of this actor, but he does a really good job as Brainiac 5. Didn't like the makeup job they do on him, but when he's in his human form, it looks way better. Okay. Now, the one thing I don't like is when they say crisis so much. We already know. It's like they have to use that, well, there's a major crisis on the hand. There's a crisis coming. Yes, I think we already know. Of course, that is the antimatter wave that is ripping through planets throughout space and time at this moment. And now we have the scene of Argo City. Now, we haven't seen Kal-El Superman in, you know, in the Arrowverse since last year's crossover. You found out that he left to go to Argo City to raise his son with Lois Lane. And the son, of course, is Jonathan Kent. I do like this version of Lois Lane, though. Spitfire, always trying to catch that story. Very Margot Kidder-like. And there is the red antimatter wave, which is covering the skies at the moment. The ominous feeling of the end coming. Erica Durance, of course, returning as Alora. You gotta love this scene. This is an homage, of course, to the Dick Donner Superman. Of course, sending Jonathan off in a pod. You probably can guess the rest. As the antimatter wave rolls right in. And the destruction of Argo City. So crisis begins with the first planet, first casualties being Argo City now. All erased. The feeling of hopelessness. And now we begin with the recruitment, or the recruitment of all of the whole team. I gotta admit, I had my reservations about Catherine and McNamara joining, but it's like when she's with Steven, of course they're supposed to be father and daughter, but I like her better like this, her working with her dad. But when she's with those other two punks, I can't stand her. But maybe she'll evolve, I don't know. Of course, Lila Michaels has evolved and has become the Harbinger. Good thing she doesn't have that horrible helmet. And of course, the Flash now is going to be recruited. Now, here's the biggest TV show that I had an issue with coming out this year, and actually it's turned out to be one of my big surprises for me. Especially the way they've kind of developed the Kate Kane character. Like, this scene is incredible. This is very Batman-esque. With, like, the quick moves, the fast hits, the kicks, like, the overall aggression. Very Batman-like. So I like the fact that that's very Bruce Wayne-like. Like, wait a minute. I don't know you. You're going to have to take a back seat. Like, the entire multiverse is in peril. And she's like, nah, wait a minute. This is my thing. Now, we don't get the full Legends yet, but we have the Atom and we have the White Canary. Probably the best two Legends, in my opinion. But they're the OG members. I like how everybody just runs out of the room, the Harbinger shows up, and these two guys are like, eh, whatever. This is a great moment. We see the Harbinger basically bringing the entire team together. Well, not the entire team, but... That's the heartbreak. This is all about crisis. A crisis is all about the loss of people. Typical Batman move right there. I love this because this is like the Superman-Batman relationship. Like, Batwoman coming in, guns a-blazing, and Kara has to calm her down. Like, hey, wait a minute. We're on the same side here. So she trusts. That's the relationship of Batman and Superman. It's like a pull and pull. You know, it's crazy when they brought Lila Michaels into Arrow, and if you guys are comic book readers, you know that Lila Michaels is the Harbinger, so they actually have been setting this up for a while. Almost 5 years, this. This is my favorite version of Kate Kane right now in this first episode. This is like totally her, just like not mimicking Batman, but it's, she has very much Batman-esque type of dialogue and the way she does things now. Like hitting Harbinger in the face, questioning everything. That's Batman. And of course, the impending doom. Now, this is a great callback if you've ever read the comics. This is the first time you see the Monitor Towers. Now, if you read the comics, you've seen those quantum towers almost everywhere. Now, the reason the pod went to 2046 is because of the antimatter wave. It kind of knocked it off course, very reminiscent of how Supergirl arrived late on Earth 1. Because her pod, or Earth 38, her pod was knocked off course, and she landed after Cal. You know, it's funny, like, I would always call the Green Arrow a B character in the comics because he's had his good runs, you know. I can't think of any that come to mind. And of course, Oliver Queen, the OG of this entire universe, it'll always be called the Arrowverse, even when he's long gone. The Longbow Hunters. I was thinking about that run right now with Oliver Queen. That's one of his better runs. The Longbow Hunters, and then there's a comic with him and the Green Lantern going on road trips. That's pretty good, also. So, but the Arrowverse. He's basically their Batman. Now, if you haven't watched Supergirl this season, there's been an ongoing conflict between the sisters and Lena Luthor. Basically, Lena found out who Supergirl was, and she found that basically all her friends have been lying to her, and she felt betrayed, and she had that turn to the dark side this year. So they're on a rough patch right now, so... See, this is what I love about the Kryptonians. The Kryptonians are all about hope. They're all about inspiring people. Now you see Superman, he's doubting himself, his life. You know, he wanted to have a life, and now he feels responsible for what happened. And Kara, in the midst of losing her mom, can still put on that brave face. I've always felt like she truly carries the show, Melissa Benoist. Great actress, by the way. She's done some other things. She did a series about David Koresh and the Waco incident. So, watch that. She plays one of the wives. Speech basically being, you know, if you want to read between lines, that Krypton is gone. Yes, we know that, but like everything about Krypton is in other people. And even in the face of like oncoming danger and imminent doom, you know, Kara still is like, look, we still have to fight. We still have to inspire. And that's what Superman and Supergirl and the entire Kryptonian race, as far as they're concerned, that's always been their moniker. Hope. There's always a chance. We can do it. We do it the right way. Belief. And now here is Kara inspiring Cal. Another great scene. Basically, Oliver is now passing the torch to his daughter to being the next Green Arrow or a Green Arrow. I love this. This is... Oliver pissed off at the monitor. Hiding out in his floating little circle. Lamont Garrett, I don't know too much about this actor, but he really brings something to the monitor. Like, that very just translucent type of, like, persona. Like, he speaks almost in double meanings. Like, look, I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen, but just be prepared anyway. God, that's a great shot, by the way, those monitor towers. Now, as I said, you have to watch, like, I would say, maybe the beginning of the Supergirl season 5, ending of season 4, to understand why there's such conflict between these two right now. But as I said before, there's betrayal. She's been lied to, basically by her best friends. But she is a Luther, so... See, I love that fact. I'm going to give you my help, but I still don't like you. Of course, earthquake comes, the two superpower beings take off. Earth 16. And of course, we arrive in the Aero Bunker. And of course, this is the older Oliver Queen from 2046. But at this point, he's an older man, and he has the metal arm. So now, in this world, his Sarah Lance died in the Gambit. I think he has a season 5 suit on, by the way. Makeup job is solid, but you know, he should look a little bit older, just saying. These towers should be a lot cleaner. Why do they look so dirty? Now, this is the first appearance of the Shadow Demons. And if you've read the comic, and I will always go back to the comic, the Shadow Demons are basically black. All black and basically faceless. You couldn't see them. They were just kind of... they're Shadow Warriors, basically. But I guess for TV, you have to upgrade a little bit, and they have, like, the blue faces now. Still with the black. I think this is an upgrade that I kind of dig, because you see what you're fighting. Of course, the Shadow Demons work for the Anti-Monitor. Of course, he's been mentioned. First time in this episode that he's been mentioned all along, because he's been mentioned throughout the season as an oncoming threat, but they actually name dropped as the Anti-Monitor. Like father, like daughter, like father, or like father, like daughter. And of course, there's Dreamer. I don't think she'll be a big part of this crossover. This might be the... We might see her again. I think the leader is a callback to season 1 or 2? I'm not sure. But that's his ship. Of course, Lena is intelligent just like her brother Lex. We'll be seeing Lex sometime in this crossover. I'm not sure. Probably episode 2. If you watch the trailers. So he's going to be in it. Now, this little bit of dialogue that the White Canary is saying right now is so true, and basically a callback to season 1. Because Sarah Lance did go with Oliver Queen on the Queen's Gambit. And, of course, the accident happened, Leon Yu. And it basically set up a chain of events that built the Arrowverse. This Oliver doesn't know about the multiverse or anything like that. This Star City and his world is run down. I think it was taken over by the Deathstrokes, if I recall. I like how he calls him Kara and Clark. Great shot. Great shot. Ugh. So I love this. Even in the face of saving the world, like, look, I don't care. I still don't like you. You're still a bitch. Typical Luther. Now, the amount of solar energy it's going to take to power this monitor tower basically exhausts them both. They pass out. Here come the shadow demons. Cool little moment right there with Jimmy Olsen's sister carrying the guardian shield. Of course, if you want to know where Jimmy Olsen is, it's another story. You gotta watch season 5 of Supergirl. I love the music, man. Blake Neely's music, he just stepped it up a notch for this. It's just so cinematic. Here comes the monitor. The monitor's saving everybody right now, or he's... Nope. That's a bold move by Oliver, shooting the monitor, basically saying, well, I'm not leaving yet. He's almost out of arrows. He's basically fighting all these shadow demons by himself. I thought he had more in the pack. How come when he got flipped over, like, all the arrows are gone? And then with the music, the no bows left. All the shadow demons. It's Oliver Queen. Say goodbye to Earth 38. Now the monitor has transferred them all onto Earth 1, including a very injured Oliver Queen. And Oliver, of course, gave his life to save 1 billion people. And our first appearance of the Pariah. This death scene very reminiscent of the animated Transformers 1986 movie. If you ever watched that, The Death of Optimus Prime, but so similar. hero sacrifice. Now Caron Barry finding out of what he did. Just like that, we lost Oliver Queen in the first episode. That's a gut punch right there. Pay attention to that line, what the monitor says, by the way. See, even the monitor is like, wait a minute, he wasn't supposed to die like this. The ominous music of the end coming. A battle they can't win. And our first casualty has been set. The death of Oliver Queen. Which we knew was coming, but it happens in episode one. And that's it. That was Crisis on Infinite Earths, part one. That is, of course, on Supergirl. Season 5, episode 9, but it's part 1, and we're off to a start now. We're off and running. It's part of 5. Like I said, it's going to be on tomorrow night, and then Wednesday at about 8 o'clock, same time. But Arrow, about an hour long, each of them, 45 minutes, give or take, with commercials and all that. So, so our first casualty is, whoever had the poll of Oliver was going to die maybe the last episode, nope, he goes in the first episode, but if I can, give my little input of some future things that I think may or may not happen, I think we're going to see Oliver again, and I think we're going to see the future Oliver Queen join the fight. We're going to see 2046 Oliver, or another version of Oliver Queen. He's dead, this Oliver is, but, as we've seen, the multiverse is still out there, and I think the older Oliver is going to join this fight somehow, and he'll be involved to the very bitter end until they beat the Anti-Monitor, and the Anti-Monitor hasn't shown up yet. This is the first episode he's been name-dropped. So, we should see him shortly. Be sure to trailer for the next episode. Looks like we're going to go see Bruce Wayne, finally, which makes my heart joy. And we're going to see Kingdom Come Superman. So, that's it. Episode 1 of Crisis is in the books. Thanks, guys, for listening. And as always, you share, download The Heroes Asylum at The Heroes Asylum on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Thanks for coming. I'll be doing another one of these tomorrow night and the night after. And thanks for joining, and as always, get to the asylum.